give it up for Senator Floyd Prezansky and Representative Ann Leninger. Yo, make some noise. Make some noise, y'all. Boop, 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 boop. The reason we're here. The reason we're here.
Thank you, everybody, for being here and hearing our perspective on this really important issue. I'm Representative Ann Leininger, and I actually am co-chair of the Marijuana Legalization Committee together with Senator Burdick. And not only am I co-chair of the Marijuana Legalization Committee, but I was one of the original members of Moms for Yes on Measure 91. Yeah. And my son and I campaigned in support of Measure 91, and we talked to our friends about why it matters. Even though I live in Lake Oswego, which is not renowned for being the very most socially progressive part of the state of Oregon, because it's really important. I represent Lake Oswego and Southwest Portland in the legislature, but as legislators, we represent all of the state. And I think that for all that people came to the table on the Measure 91 committee with different views about whether Measure 91 should have passed, and probably three of the House members came to the table as supporters, public supporters even, and perhaps the strong majority of the Senate members came to the table as people who might have voted against Measure 91. But by the end, I would say that because of your work and the great work of advocates like Lisa Nato and Anthony Johnson and Anthony Taylor and Leah Maurer and Jeff Sugarman and other wonderful people, by the end, I would say, well, we had unanimous support for crime reduction, sentence reduction, expungement legislation, and a lot of other good things. So we moved the conversation in the right direction. But my goodness, we have more work to do. So I think the main principles that are guiding us as we're moving forward are the need to protect patients in our community, the need to recognize that this is a gigantic, wonderful business opportunity for Oregon, which is why I'm so glad to be speaking at this business conference, and the need to recognize that we're in the middle of a pretty big cultural change in our state. Is anyone aware of the ArcView research report that recently came out? Right, that's pretty magnificent and powerful. It described that in 2014 there was a 74% increase in the legal cannabis market in the country. It went from a $1.5 billion a year market, I think, to a $2.7 billion a year market, which is giant. But even more amazingly, they articulated that when all 50 states legalize cannabis, which they will, right, it's a matter of time, but I think they will, it's going to be more than a $36 billion a year market, several billion dollars a year, more than the organics market. And that is powerful, and it's powerful in part because Oregon stands to really be at the forefront of that. You know, the innovation of people who've been in the sector for decades, the innovation of people who are coming here now to help build businesses in marketing and indoor and outdoor growing and product development are amazing. And when it becomes a traded sector product, that's going to be great for Oregon. And we can't lose sight of the fact that all those people who say we've got to be good to business need to be thinking of you. They need to be thinking of our issues and the things that we care about. And I'll tell you one reason why I care about it. I'll tell you two reasons. The other day, I was at a community event, and a constituent came up to me. She's about 80 years old. She presented herself as a very straight-laced, you know, prim person, and she said, I'm trying really hard to be able to get my medical marijuana card, and I'm having a really hard time. I mean, I'm having a hard time because I'm 80, and I have arthritis and back problems, so it's actually hard to go all over the place and get the exams and the determination that I qualify, and then I've got to pay a whole bunch of money once I qualify so I can get the card, and if I don't do that, then all I can do is go into, maybe by October 1st, go into stores and buy a small portion of product, but I don't want to smoke it because I'm 80 and I'd be more comfortable taking it in other forms. And it just doesn't make sense. I mean, if this is good for pain management, we got to make it less painful to get. And so that is one inspiration that I have going forward. Yeah. And another inspiration I have is, as a kid, I grew up in Southern Oregon. So my family's actually lived in Southern Oregon in the Rogue Valley for six generations. So yeah, thank you for Southern Oregon, yes. So I remember 4th of July was a really big time there. They have a great parade in Ashland. If you haven't been, you should definitely go and cheer for Representative Buckley when he walks by. But I remember riding in a dump truck from our family's sand and gravel business. You know, my grandfather started a sand and gravel business, kind of rock mining, rock crushing construction business, and employed all the relatives. And I remember sitting perched on the edge of this dump truck with my cousins, and we were throwing little packets of rock candy. Anybody know that? It's like, looks like gravel, and, you know, it tastes really terrible, but it's kind of cool if you're in the sand and gravel business. So we were throwing little packets of rock candy out to our friends, and I remember feeling regal. You know, I was a kid from Southern Oregon whose family did rock mining and rock crushing, and I felt like a queen riding through town, throwing rock candy to my friends because we had a family business that supported our family. We were leaders in the community for doing that, and we've got to not forget that also. Because think about what happened in Southern Oregon. I remember when the bottom fell out of the timber economy. Between 1979 and 1982, timber value was reduced by 50%. And by the time the housing market came back, and a lot of the other natural resource jobs, like the need for sand and gravel, really went down too. And all those rural communities where small family businesses were sustained by those natural resource jobs suffered. By the time the housing market came back, 48,000 jobs were gone from the Pacific Northwest that haven't come back. And lots of wonderful communities around our state, both urban but a lot of rural, have been casting around for something that we can do to provide great jobs for people, to help people support their families on good wages, where they can get health insurance, where they can do something that matters, where they can, you know, ride in a parade and feel great and proud because they're community leaders. And this sector, which helps people, which is full of some of the most idealistic entrepreneurs I know, is precisely the kind of thing that's gonna work, right? I grew up in the Emerald Triangle. That's right. That's arguably the best place in the world to grow cannabis outdoors. And so we have to make sure we in the legislature support that, whether or not you're a Lake Oswego Southwest Portland representative or you're someone like my friend Carl Wilson in Josephine County who agrees that it's important, even though he's much more conservative than me. We have to support that. So we've got a lot of work to do. It wasn't perfect in this last session. I'm going to quickly describe some things that we did in the last session, and then I'm going to talk about some issues that I see as being important going forward. Hi, Rashawn. And then turn it over to my good friend, Senator Przanski. One of the things I feel most proud about from the last session is the criminal justice reform work we did, which you helped us do. That is crucial. I have a family member who is in jail right now who has a drug addiction and who couldn't get funding for who couldn't get a treatment bed at a time when he was ready to have treatment. And the fact of the matter is we need to make sure that we are bringing in the revenue to support treatment and prevention. We need to make sure that we are not over-penalizing people whose issue is that they may have an addiction problem. And we need to make sure that someone who's made a choice to use something or sell something that we now believe should be legal doesn't get a millstone around the neck for the rest of their lives. So I am very happy about the criminal justice reform work we did. It has been said by the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation that 50,000 people are going to benefit from the crime reclassification and expungement work that you helped us get passed. So thank you. Yeah. other good things, because it was a mixed bag, I'm not going to lie. Patients' rights, we passed a law that means that if you are using medical cannabis, you're not per se off the list for an organ transplant. Apparently it used to be that you were. That is a huge problem. So we passed that reform, and that's great. We passed a reform that says if you're in hospice and you want to ask someone other than your designated caregiver to administer medical marijuana for pain relief, that's okay. And if you both think that's okay, you and the caregiver, well, then do it, because we're trying to help ease your pain, and it's a legal substance. We made sure that we kept taxes pretty low. By the account of LRO, Legislative Revenue Office, we actually modestly decreased them from what was in Measure 91, but we included in that a sweetener for local jurisdictions because, you know, cultural change, right? What I said is that it's a big cultural change, and it's not equally embraced by everybody. We need to help local communities that feel like, hey, we're not ready for this. You know, we saw Reefer Madness a whole bunch of times in high school, and it really freaked us out, so we're not ready for it. We need to help them understand that there are all kinds of reasons to embrace this change, and some of them can be the need to find resource to support crucial public services. So those are good things, but we played a lot of defense. We spent a lot of time trying to not cut back the medical marijuana program more than other people were driving to do. We spent a lot of time trying to protect the ability of medical growers to grow plants and not have extremely expensive regulations attached that would drive people out of the legal market. So what's next? Well, we're going to need you to help figure out what's next, because there are a lot of important issues. How much outside investment should be allowed? I don't want to see a legal cannabis market in Oregon that requires that you have a super rich benefactor here in Oregon for you to be able to do it, because of course you can't get bank loans. So I'd like to see some amount of outside investment be possible, but we need your guidance to help shape what makes sense, because we want to create and support local jobs too. We don't want to just become a plantation for outside investors who don't even live here to have cultivation and stores. You know, we want it to benefit people who are currently in the state too. We need to come to a decision on whether in medical dispensaries, what range of products you can sell to the rec market. You know, the friend I was talking to you about earlier, she really wishes that we could sell extracts to rec buyers from dispensaries. I think that's something that we should consider as we wait for the rec stores to open. We need to figure out if rec stores should be able to sell tax-free medical products. I mean, I really want to know what you folks think about this, because there are considerations on both sides right now. There is not a tax-free ability to sell to the medical market from rec stores. We need to figure out if we're hurting patients. You know, we heard a lot of information about that, and we need to, as we move forward, we need to hear how it's going. So there's a lot we need to work on. Earlier today, I came from something. The Max Orange Line. Does anyone here take public transportation ever? Hopefully, you should. It's great. So we worked for decades when I was a county commissioner to move forward a light rail project called the Max Orange Line, and at times there was shocking opposition. People got recalled. People lost in their elections. People pointed pictures of gun barrels facing me at us in a county commission meeting because they didn't like the idea that we were going to support this change. For some people, it means Portland values coming to Clackamas County. It was a really hard issue. But today, we celebrated that we got there. We celebrated that Tillicum Crossing has been built. We celebrated that the line has been complete, and a lot of people who were uncomfortable about it at the beginning celebrate us with us. And that's what I see as a future for legal cannabis and medical cannabis. You know, there are people who are still uncomfortable, but we're going to help them know that this is okay for them, whether or not they choose to use it. This is okay for our community. This creates great opportunity for our community. But in the meantime, we've got some risk. You may not know this, but in the last couple of days, some websites have popped up. Parents Against Pot. You know, as the counterpoint to Moms for Yes on Measure 91. And another was Stop Pot 2016. And they prominently feature Senator Brzozinski and me as people they're not really appreciating that much. So what we need to do, in addition to the other good work that you're going to identify for us and the points that I've tried to raise, we need to help legislators see that being an advocate for this sector, that being a champion of legalization and patients' access to medicine does not make you weaker, does not make you lose your job, brings around you friends who understand that this is part of a positive cultural change in our community. So going forward, I'm going to invite you to try to show the larger legislative body they don't need to back away from these issues or vote no out of concern for self-preservation. They can vote yes because it's the right thing to do and because it's a fine and safe thing to do, and you'll be there with us. So I'll encourage you to do that too. For now, I'm turning it over to my great friend and legalization champion, Senator Przanski. Thank you. I look forward to hearing your thoughts.